Before the classroom, there was presence by Naveen Amarasuriya, dedicated to those who created the conditions, and for the others who convened at the Forest Creek Refuge at Oregon in spring 2026. A question from the gathering hit me early on. Are we just sprinkling calm on fundamentally chaotic and under-resourced school systems? I've been sitting with that question since Forest Creek Refuge in Oregon, where old and new friends carved out time to live in questions, and to trust that the seeds they tend may one day bloom for generations they will never meet. The explorations were open-ended, like the mist that moved through the trees that held us. What does it mean to be truly educated? Learning began in motion, following herds, reading seasons, tending fire. Children absorbed survival, story, and the wisdom of those who came before. Then came industrialization, and schools were shaped by the logic of the factory floor. Children sorted by age. Knowledge standardized. Content delivered at scale. What emerged is what we recognize as education today, a grade-based conveyor belt designed to produce workers that would serve economies. The industrial age gave way to the information age. Platforms like Meta were engineered to engage, optimizing relentlessly for attention in service of shareholders. When people are conditioned to consume, they become easier to fragment into smaller and smaller groups. Each group interprets the world through the media it consumes, and the more isolated those interpretations become, the deeper polarization grows. And now those systems have evolved. Large language models complete our thoughts, reframe our questions, and nudge perception in ever more intimate ways. John Culkin's idea feels more relevant than ever. We shape our tools, and thereafter our tools shape us. So the question becomes, what kind of human beings is this world shaping? And what kind of education might help us meet the future with deeper wisdom and compassion? At Forest Creek, researchers who had spent decades building rigorous curricula circled around a simple yet profound insight. The embodied teacher is the curriculum. Wisdom, kindness, and care flow from the quality of presence, and presence asks of us a deep coherence, that our inner life and outer life become one, that we teach only what we live, and that we first ask of ourselves what we ask of others. Another question rippled through the room. Who was a teacher that inspired you? Stories began to surface. In that space sat the proof. People whose lives had been changed by a single teacher, decades later, dedicating their own lives to learning and paying it forward. The power of these ideas sat alongside the implementation challenge of it all. Research confirms what wisdom has always known. A teacher's inner state shapes the nervous systems of the children around them. Co-regulation, mirror neurons, the biology of attachment, all seem to point in the same direction. A regulated nervous system and a felt sense of safety must be grown, tended, and protected. We can only build the conditions that make both possible. In my experience, those who embody these qualities often arrive there through some combination of innate nature and having once been held by great teachers themselves. And yet, across the countries I have served in, virtually every school system has been built around incentive structures designed for visible, measurable outcomes. This tendency extends beyond schools. Well-meaning parents, formed by the same conveyor belt, reach instinctively for what they know. A friend in the Bay Area recently described a consulting service for parents of newborns, offering to map a child's entire educational pathway toward an Ivy League school of their choosing. A life charted rigidly from daycare to a doctorate. Academic performance becomes worth. Worth becomes a school's acceptance letter framed on a wall. The Ivy League pathway, like the school chasing enrollment and test scores, has made the oldest mistake available to it. When measurement becomes the destination, the system begins to optimize for the map itself, forgetting that the map is not the terrain. Intelligence can solve the problem in front of you. Wisdom asks whether it was the right problem to begin with. What resists measurement is often what shapes a life most deeply. Funders reasonably ask for proof. School leaders seek operational clarity. Teachers ask simply to be supported in the work only they can do. And yet the work we explored in the forest, from the quality of a teacher's presence to the structures that surround them, resists the kind of simple solution that my mind was grasping for. There is no silver bullet here. You cannot make a plant grow by pulling on it. What it asks is patient and unglamorous. That we tend the conditions in which a teacher can grow, carrying wisdom and compassion the way a tree carries its rings, invisibly, through everything it has lived through. So the question I am carrying is this. How do we serve conditions that make it probable for one person's quality of being to enter a room and inspire the future of another? Perhaps that is the work, to ask what teachers are carrying, what systems are rewarding, and what we are measuring and why. To measure only what serves, and pair every number with the story it cannot tell alone. To know when to stop.
To let what emerges from tending the conditions to be enough.
Service rooted in anxiety becomes brittle. Rooted in curiosity and compassion, it grows supple enough to meet the world as it is and open enough to hold what it could become. This work is born from friendship as much as urgency, and from the strange grace of people who gather around something larger than themselves and choose, together, to care for it. The most sacred work in education has always been one person, fully present, lighting a flame that others will carry forward long after they are gone. The world will keep accelerating. The pressures will deepen before they ease. Somewhere, a teacher is walking into a room not knowing that a child in it will spend their whole life giving away what they are about to receive.
Red Heart.